Blog Talk Radio.
Your life. I am your host, Diamond Taylor, and this is Mosaic Monday, the segment where it's all about a variety of financial topics, on-time solutions from A to Z, real talk, giving you honest, no-holds-barred advice and lessons on how to end your financial nightmare, where the audience asks the questions and we search for the solutions. It is all about you on Mosaic Monday. We have some really hot topics tonight. But before we get started, I want to thank you all for joining me and also say thanks for tuning in because we were on a little vacation somewhat last week. We had a conference to go to, so we did not air as usual, but we are back this week, and I am so happy to be back with you. And our hot topic for tonight is all about love and money, how to bring up that prenuptial agreement, is it really necessary, and did you ever hear of a such thing as divorce insurance? So we got some really cool hot topics that came straight from you, the audience, when you emailed me last week. Those are the two top ones that we picked. So if you'd like to have an opportunity to join us in that conversation, or if you have something else that you would like to add to that, you can call in right now at area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. But before we do anything, we must play our disclaimer. So I will meet you right back here right after our disclaimer.
It is time to do a little housekeeping and give you our disclaimer for Secure Your Life. The views and opinions expressed on the show may not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the host, the sponsors, this station, and that of Pericon Productions. The content and or information that is referenced and referred to on this program are intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. We encourage our listeners to seek direct consultation from a qualified, licensed, and certified professional. The purpose of this show is to provide an open forum where one is free to express his or her opinion. In a no-holds-barred discussion about money, personal finances, and business matters. Now, it is time for you to sit back and participate and enjoy the show. And once again, thank you for joining us for Secure Your Life.
All right, we are back. Yes, we are, and I want to thank you once again, yes, for joining us for Secure Your Life. This is Mosaic Monday, and it's all about you, and we will give you on-time solutions from A to Z, no holds bar, advice and lessons on how to end your financial nightmare. And we have picked from a selection of our emails that we received last week. And audience members wanted to know how to bring up the prenuptial agreement, and is it really necessary, and have you ever heard of divorce insurance? I thought that was a very interesting topic, but without further ado, I'd like to give you our phone number so you can call right now at area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343, or you can also join us in the chat room. The chat room is open, as well as you can tweet us. Yes, you can. We are on Twitter. That would be Twitter at Secure Your Life, and you can tweet us, and I can answer your questions or read them over the air there also, and also on Facebook. So we are on Facebook also, so you can send me a message via Twitter, Facebook, or in the chat room right on Blog Talk. So please feel free to call in, and I'm going to get this party started about this prenuptial agreement and how important really is a prenuptial agreement. I know when it comes to love and money, that is one of the necessary evils, if you will, and most couples don't take the time to really figure out what is most important in regards to that. And then when one party or the other decides that they're going to take this to the next level and they want to get serious, they need to start talking about how to handle the money matters. And prenuptial agreements are one of those things that some couples find very necessary. So I want to hear your points of view before I go into what information our email person sent to me to read over the air. I'm going to start with area code 312-217, and then I'm going to go 815-395. So first 312, how are you? Okay. Hello, 312, you're on the air, 312-217.
Hello.
Okay, well, I thought you weren't there for a second. How are you this
no.
evening?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you? Great.
Doing
just wonderful.
Great. Well, here's the question. Do you think that prenuptial agreements are necessary? And if so, why?
Yes, especially when you and your significant lifetime mate is going to take the next step, which usually is marriage. If you all both have SS prior to the marriage, it is, to me, very necessary to have one. I don't have any problems with one being asked to sign one, nor being prepared to prepare one so we can get things together. Because, again, I had assets before I met you. You have assets before you met me. And so we need to protect those, especially if you have children or one, it's one-sided, I don't have children, but you do, and you need to make sure, I would want you to make sure that you prepared something for them as well as for me, so vice versa. I mean, it's a really sticky situation, but it's something we definitely need to talk about and move forward. So approved up to agreement, no, I don't have a problem with it. It's just going to be a lot of work, and it can get kind of sticky, especially between the two of us because the love is there, but it's hard to be in love when you're outside cold and hungry. It stops real short.
Well, you know what? I agree with that, and there's some other interesting things that the person who emailed us, our audience member that emailed us, had some really good information. But before I go into that, I'm going to add 815-395 to our conversation to find out what he thinks or she thinks about this issue of prenuptial agreement. Hello, how are you?
Oh, good evening, Diamond. Hey, this is Ron.
Hi, Ron. How are you? Did you hear our question?
Oh, yes, I did, and I agree with prenuptial agreements.
Okay, and why?
Okay, here's the thing. First of all, in this day and age, let's face some facts here, with all the single parenting, teen pregnancy going on, in most instances, I do believe that a couple that is, say, getting ready to get married, there is a child or children involved.
Okay.
So it's a situation of saying, like, if you're bringing anything into the marriage, you need to protect that. Believe me, you definitely need to protect that, because you could very readily end up in a situation where a man could end up in a situation where, okay, let's say he's taking care of his end of his business. With any children he might have, but she's got a bunch of deadbeat dads. And in the event of divorce, he could end up stuck with a bill, a portion of a bill for her children and her.
Well, now that is very interesting that you brought that up. That is very interesting that you brought that up. But hold on one second. Let me give the phone number one more time. We are, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Secure Your Life. This is Mosaic Monday, and the topic for this evening is love and money, how to bring up the prenuptial agreement, and is it really necessary, and also divorce insurance. Did you really even know that there was a such thing? Well, we're talking about right now at the top of the hour, all about how to bring up the prenuptial agreement and is it necessary. So if you'd like to join us, the phone number is area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. Or you can join us in the chat room. I'll be glad to take your comments and or questions there and read them over the air. And you can also tweet us. We are on Twitter, so that's Twitter at Secure Your Life, as well as Facebook at Secure Your Life. And we will gladly take your comment and or question. Now, back to what you both were saying, that you all are 100% in agreement with the prenuptial agreement. And what exactly would you be asking for or requesting in the prenuptial agreement that would be covered on both ends?
Was that for me or?
Yes, you can go first, Ron. What would you require? What important thing would you like to list in your prenuptial agreement?
Well, first thing I'd like to say, as far as say bringing it up, as far as bringing up the idea of a prenuptial agreement, would be to say that, okay, when the relationship, okay, relationships, hey, we're getting along nice. Seemingly we are serious about each other. We're going to take the next step or to take the plunge, as the expression might be. But first, I believe we should get a prenuptial agreement before we even start considering marriage, mainly because, hey, this is a big step for everybody involved, and we need to protect ourselves, you and I. And the way I would put it to anyone that I was considering marrying.
Right. Well, I can definitely understand that.
Right. Okay. Now, as far as saying, say that, are you saying what would I want in the prenuptial agreement?
Right. What would you list, or what would be included?
Well, I think that it would be a thing of saying, okay, whatever we bring into this relationship, bring into the marriage, whatever we bring into the marriage, that should be what we take out of it. Anything that we, any gains that we have made as a result of being together, if we decide to part company, they should be split 50-50.
Okay.
As long as it's, say, like, it's really like we're separate. Anything we have that's separate, say like you have your bank account, I have mine. Hey, that's your business and that's mine. Whatever is in your account is your business. Whatever is in my account is in my business, regardless of how much it has grown. So now anything that we have gotten together on different economic situations, and this the middle ground, I think this is what we should be looking towards splitting 50-50 or coming to some kind of an agreement on.
Okay, well, let me say this. Someone just sent a tweet, and comment was, then they didn't think that a prenuptial agreement was fair because it's only one-sided. Okay.
How can it be one-sided?
I disagree.
It's not one-sided.
Right. Too many people are under the assumption that that's the way it is. The person with the tangible assets usually set the rules, and that's why they're asking for it. But in actuality, the prenuptial agreement is an agreement, which means all parties must agree to the terms.
Right.
And it doesn't matter whether you have tangible assets coming in or not. The point is there are things that you can actually put in that prenuptial agreement that can still be assets that are not necessarily tangible, which means there could be things in there that you can state that before we even get to the point where if our relationship was to break down for any reason, you could put in there that we must seek active counseling and all parties must be actively trying to find a resolve before a dissolution of this marriage. I mean, those are some things that you can put in there that have nothing to do with monetary gain. There are other things that you can put that would be an agreement between the parties that would actually concern as far as, I mean, you name it, because it is an agreement. All parties must agree, and it's not just because of monetary situation. I think that too many people think that if you bring that up, of course, you know, we have said this on previous shows about when it comes to couples and money, where they're uncomfortable talking about this. Well, this is an issue that needs to be brought up way before you even get serious about the person. But with the prenuptial agreement, there are so many things that can go into that agreement that has nothing to do with money. I mean, you could also put in there about insurance, about the person may, you know, health. I mean, there's so many things. There is no limit to what actually can go into that document. And believe you me, it is an agreement, which means all parties must agree. Everybody must sign. And, you know, it has to be mutual. So you have to keep that in mind. This is a mutual agreement between all parties, not just one party.
Say, Diamond?
Yes.
Yes, I have a question. Now, this is not about not about prenuptial agreements. This is something that just occurred to me when I had mentioned the man, he has a child outside of the marriage, but he's not a deadbeat dad. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. Okay, he and the mother of his child were not getting along, but he is, say, hey, he's supporting his child.
Okay.
The lady that he is considering marriage to has three kids.
Okay.
Now, she's got three losers. She's hooked up with three losers. The first winner she's hooked up with. and she does not have any children by him, and she's not planning on having any more, and he is in agreement with this. So what the guy is saying, hey, look, I have a child, so you've got three S enough, forget it. You know, no more children. You agree? We agree. Okay, now, what I'm saying, in the event that they end up going their separate ways, and this has nothing to do with the prenuptial agreement, in the event that, okay, they get married, few, say 5-6 years later, they decide they're going into divorce and they're divvying up everything, she's got her attorney, he's got his, he's asking for alimony, and can she get support? I know you can ask me anything. That don't mean you're going to get it. But can she get support? Can she get some kind of support for her children?
Well, you know what? I'm going to have to do some research on that. I am not exactly sure that it would be an attorney would definitely have to answer that. But we will probably try in future shows to try to get an attorney to actually answer that question. That is a really good question. I'm not quite sure. I think that what has to happen, usually what happens in a divorce situation, especially if the person is asking for alimony or some type of spousal support, and they try to make it where the person that is getting or requesting the support to get something that's equal to the type of lifestyle in which they led while they were married, if they don't have children together. Now, the only way I know that he would probably be responsible is only if he adopts those children.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're his children at that point. So
that I could understand.
Right. So
but I'm just saying, with him adopting it, without barring adopting the children, let's say this guy wasn't rich, but he's got a few bucks. He's not Daddy Warbucks. He's not Donald Trump or anybody like that. But he's a bit in the money. So they're living very decently. And for 6 or 10 years when the marriage was going on, they were living good. So now I guess she could claim that, says, okay, I want this for myself, and I have these three kids, so this is part of the deal. But that's what I was trying to think. I was just wondering about.
Well, I'm not a lawyer, so I really can't answer.
And where does the law state?
Right.
Where does the law?
It would probably vary from state to state also, because some laws are not blanket all over, you know, the diaspora. So, you know, it does vary from state to state, or even, you know, because this is the World Wide Web, it does vary from wherever you are on the planet. Each law is governed is differently. So the thing would be to contact counsel, and that is a very good question, and we will do our darndest to try to get that answered. It won't be on this show tonight, but we will come back and revisit that, because we are talking about economics. So the thing is, when I do know that in the judgment for divorce, they try to make it where whomever is asking for spousal support, that it does try to at least make it where that person is living close to the type of lifestyle that they had led when they were a couple. That doesn't always necessarily happen. And like you said, you can always ask for, you know, anything. That does not necessarily mean that the judge is going to render your request. But that is definitely a good question, and one that we probably will look into at another time. And I will probably try to get a family attorney to answer that, because that is a very good question. I mean, when you are divorcing and the person does have children that are not biologically yours, where does that set them and you? You know, do you have to pay child support for those children, or are you just responsible for spousal support? And the judge may, you know, it depends on how the judge is. You know, they go within the law, but they may be able to award something since you were the ones that were taking care of that those children. But I, like I said, that would have to be really discussed with an attorney. But
well,
if you
well
just
looking at
us,
I'm thinking, as you were saying about the maintaining the lifestyle they had when they were together. So the children are there, so that to me that would be a factor in it.
Right.
Hold on a second, Ron.
Right. If you just joined us, you are listening to Secure Your Life, and it is Mosaic Monday, and we are talking about various financial topics from A to Z with on-time solutions, giving you no-holds-bar advice and lessons on how to end your financial nightmare, where the audience asks the questions and we search for the solutions. It is all about you, the audience, tonight on Mosaic Monday. And you can call us now at area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343, or you can join us in the chat room. I would be happy to take your comment and or question there. Or you can also tweet us at Twitter at Secure Your Life or Facebook at Secure Your Life. So we will happily take your question and or comment. We're going to keep this going. And I'm going to read to you a little bit of the email that I received on this topic on how to bring up the prenuptial agreement and what are the downfalls. They were saying that they were having a little bit of a problem and kind of apprehensive in bringing up the topic about the prenuptial agreement, that they do have some assets that they would like to protect, and some of the assets is one that their fiancé is not necessarily aware about. And is it really important for them to disclose everything in that agreement? That is an interesting question, too. And here it is. You do need to spell it out. Everything that I have read about prenuptial agreements, like I said, you do need to, you know, say exactly what it is that you are trying to agree to. And it must be spelled out. And if you, here's another thing, you have to also consider the fact that to protecting your assets, for example, prenuptial agreements does more than just protect the spouse's asset. It also can be set up to ensure that children from previous marriages have their rightful inheritance. And you do need to think about that, you know, when you're setting up your prenuptial agreement, because what happens is, like even in your divorce, your assets, if you do not have anything protecting that, will be split, you know, between you and your spouse or former spouse at that point. And so any inheritance that you had set up for your children, those assets are now going to be, you know, liquidated to a certain extent. So you do need to keep that in mind and make sure that you get all of that taken care of, and those kind of, and especially you have to think about this. When you're asking for a prenuptial agreement, you have gotten to the point where your relationship is on good footing and you all are thinking about getting married. So everybody's in love and energy is mine and it's all roses and rainbows. So this is a great time, because everything is on good footing, to talk about those somewhat uncomfortable issues. And I would like to go through the six things that I think is very important. And my two callers, you can chime in at any time, too, to see, you know, what your views are. I'm going to ask you after I read each one what your views about each of these things that I think are very important things that we should talk about before you ask the person to marry you or think about getting married or even thinking about the prenuptial agreement, way before that. I think these are the six questions that you should definitely ask, or at least talk to your sweetheart while you all are in this relationship, and even before it gets to the point where you're talking about marriage. Number one, you need to find out how they really feel about money, because some people may think that it's an uncomfortable situation, but you do need to find out what that person's mindset is when it comes to money. You know, because we all have a different mindset and we all do different things with our money. Some people are spendthrifts and some people are very miserly, or, you know, they're savers. You have spenders and you have savers. So you need to talk about those things, because especially if you're thinking about getting married to this person, you need to know. That's just important. Would you agree?
Most definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. And then here's number two. That I think is very important that you should talk to your sweetheart about. Do you have an emergency savings account? Now, it doesn't necessarily, I mean, you have your own account. And remember, we're talking about two separate people. Whatever you have separately, we're not talking about joint anything at this point. And the reason why I think that is important, I didn't ask you to divulge how much, but the main point of the fact that if you don't ask that question, then you kind of can, you won't know how that person has set themselves up in case of an emergency. So I think that that is a question that you should ask. You know, do you have your rainy day fund or your savings, you know, your emergency savings plan or whatever that may be? I think that is an important question that should be asked. Now, you're not asking for account numbers and amounts, but I just think that that is a very important question to ask, because if they have not set up an emergency situation for themselves, then, and you have, then what will happen if you all get together and the person has not thought or had the foresight to think about those kind of issues? Do you think that is important?
Well, yeah, that is definitely important.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I would agree with that.
Yeah, okay. Well, here we go. And before I go on to the next one, if you just joined us and would like to join in the conversation, we're talking about love and money. This is Mosaic Monday, and the topic is about how to bring up the prenuptial agreement and the six questions that you need to ask your sweetheart even before you get to the point of getting engaged or asking the person to marry you or even getting to the point of that prenuptial agreement. These are the six questions that you should ask. You can call us right now or join us in the chat room. The phone number is area code 347-884-9343. Again, that's area code 347-884-9343. Or you can join us in the chat room. I will take your questions and or comments. You can also tweet us at Twitter at Secure Your Life or Facebook at Secure Your Life. And I will take your comment and or questions. Now, let's get to the next question that I think is very important. And I don't know, a lot of people may agree or disagree with this one, but I think this is vital because we learn a lot. Here's a question that you should ask your significant other. What lessons did you learn about money from your parents? You know, the lessons that we learn during our childhood actually shape us. You know, especially when it comes to money, a lot of adults don't share those things with their children, but actually, you know, actions speak louder than words. Believe it or not, parents, they speak volumes. Your children are actually watching you. So it speaks volumes about your attitude towards money. And it says that habits that we pick up from our parents, whether they're good, bad, hard, or, you know, are hard to break. So get those questions answered, especially when you're getting ready to think about getting married. You need to, or even in a relationship with somebody, you need to know whether or not, what lessons did they learn from their parents? Do you think that's a good question to ask?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree with that one.
And right. I mean, I think that is vitally important to know, because we, like I said, we learn relationship skills way before we're involved or old enough to be in a relationship from our parents, you know, and we learn how to manage or actually whatever, whether our parents did a good job or a bad job is indifferent, but we have actually learned our habits from them. And if you're really smart while you're molding yourself as a person, you can say, well, I will or will not do the same thing that my parents did. And sometimes those bad habits die hard, you know, especially if you see them all the time. So I think that is a very good question that we need to ask. And maybe you even ask yourself, what lessons did I learn from my parents? That's something that you probably need to take some time out to actually write down, because, you know, that's not something I don't think too many people can rattle off the top of their head, really, what they learned. unless they sit down and think about it. What about you, Ron? I mean, off the top of your head, what can you say that you think that you've learned from your parents as far as your ideas, thoughts, or habits in regards to money?
Okay, well, okay. Try to put something aside. Always try to put something aside. And, hey, if the rainy day will come. The rainy day, definitely it was going to rain. Eventually it will rain. Be prepared. You should always put something aside. Don't spend it all.
Okay, and what about you, 312? What did you learn from your parents?
Well, actually, I learned what Ron said, and plus good record keeping. They were very much stickler for record keeping because of the job that my father had. So for IRS purposes, yes, definitely record keeping, because I kept everything straight and above board. And that was their sit down and talk time to ensure both parties were sure that the bills were paid and everything was, household was running smoothly.
Okay, here's another hard question, very hard question for a lot of people to answer, and I think that you should ask, you know, you definitely need to ask your partner this, and it's going to be, you know, it may be one of those things you have to take a deep breath before you ask them, and they may have to take an even bigger deep breath before they answer. But before we get to that mystery question, let me give the phone number if you'd like to join us. You're listening to Secure Your Life. This is Mosaic Monday, and we're talking about a variety of subjects on relationship as money is the subject that we're talking about tonight, and the six things that you should ask your significant other before getting married. We're also talking about how to bring up the subject of prenuptial agreements. And last but not least, we're going to talk about this thing called divorce insurance. Really weird. But here is the thing that I said that you need to really take a deep breath probably before you even ask this question, and the person is going to definitely take a deep breath before they answer the question. And the question is, how is your credit? And do not accept good or it's all right. You know, because here's the thing. If you marry this person, believe it or not, their credit can and will affect you. So, what horror stories do you think will happen if you marry them and you did not know or did not ask that question? And it's okay if it's not in a good, favorable situation, especially with the economic situation being as it is right now. A lot of people are using their credit to live off of because, you know, the economy is really, really bad. A lot of people have lost their jobs. A lot of people have had to file bankruptcy for whatever reason. But you need to know this because if you know this, then you'll know whether or not you need to do things jointly or not. So there are some decisions that can be made if both parties are honest. If you're honest and the person does not have very good credit, there are some things that you can do to protect yourself. So you need, you know, and then there's also some things that you all could do together that can actually help that other person improve their credit without damaging you. So there are some things that you really, really need to talk about. And I'm going to add somebody else to our conversation. Thank you for holding. If you are on the line and if you're in the chat room, I'll be right there with you. But if you'd like to join the conversation, this is Mosaic Monday, and the phone number is area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343, and area code 773-317. How are you this evening? Hello?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am doing fabulous. We are talking about the six things that you should ask your significant other, and we're also talking about the prenuptial agreement. I'm almost done with my list, and then I will let you chime in at any time, okay?
Okay.
All right. Well, here's the next thing that you should ask your significant other. How do you think we should handle the management of household finances. Now, I think that is very, very important because if you don't ask that question, it could lead to misery later. Couples need to sit down and talk about how are we going to handle our household bills. Are we going to share both in the efforts of it, balancing the checkbook, paying the bills, monitoring the household budget? Those things need to be answered before you even think about getting married. Would you all agree?
I would agree.
Yeah, because if you don't, it can lead to disaster. One person thinks someone paid something, or I thought you were going to handle that, and you next thing you know, the bills are piling up, nothing's getting paid, and your credit is going into the toilet. So we don't want those things to happen because this show is all about how to end your financial nightmare, not how to start a financial nightmare. So here is last but not least a question that I think that all couples need to deal with is, do we prepare one joint account, separate accounts, or are we going to do combination of the both? Now, for me, and then I'm going to ask you all as an audience, for me, I think the best thing would be to have his, hers, and ours. I think you should come in, and most people, if you're an adult, already have some sort of banking or credit union account or however you're handling your finances. You're handling your finances prior to entering into this relationship. So most people already have something that's separate. The only thing that I think that should be joint would be the account that we're going to handle the household bills. And we have already collectively decided who's paying what or are we dividing whatever. So that money will go into the joint account, and that's where we would pay our bills. A lot of couples also have a joint savings account and a joint emergency fund. So those are the things that, you know, you can also do those same things separately. But I do encourage couples to make sure that you do have a joint savings and an emergency fund because anything can happen. And there's some safeguards that you can put on those thing on those accounts that are joint. You can have it set up with a bank or even the credit union where you can tell the banker, listen, we both have to be present. Unless there's a medical emergency or for whatever reason the other person is incapacitated, and we can only draw separately of only a certain amount if it has to be just us by ourselves. If it's a low amount, I think that's something that you probably all, both of you all can kind of manage and handle because emergencies do happen. It does not necessarily mean that it's medical and the other person might not be available, but you can put a cap on how much can be withdrawn by one party. And if it's over that amount, both signatures have to be present unless the other person is incapacitated, and therefore you'd have to have, like, a power of attorney or someone. So there are some really great safeguards that you can use on those.
I was going to say, you know, that within a certain time frame, because you can say, oh, well, you can only draw out, let's say, $250. You know, I could be drawing out $250 every week, making
right.
my nest egg. So, you know, the certain amount of time and within a certain amount of money within a certain amount of time. And I just wanted to say, you should check your spouse's or your potential spouse, their level of responsibility, because there has been people that I know who come into a marriage with absolutely nothing, or you coming into a marriage straight from your mama's house, and I have, you know, purchased a house and bought a car and raise children, and you are, you know, like I said, fresh out your mama's house, and you expect to come in, and for whatever reason, if the relationship doesn't work out, you think that you're entitled to what I have earned. And it is my desire that more couples, you know, assess what each other has before the marriage. And it should be agreed that, hey, if you didn't bring anything in, when you leave, you don't take anything with you, you know. So, but I have seen marriages where a person has entered into the marriage with absolutely nothing, the clothes on their back, and then expect for, you know, their mate to, you know, divide up any of her assets because, hey, I'm now your husband. Well, no. If you didn't bring anything in, you shouldn't expect to capitalize on what I have labored for.
Yeah, say diamond.
And that's just,
pardon me.
Hello. Go ahead and finish your comment first, and then we will actually have counter comments back and forth. So go ahead and finish. I agree with you when you said if the person did not come in with anything, you're saying that they shouldn't leave with anything.
Well, no, if they didn't come in with anything, okay, for instance, if I have a house and I marry someone who is living with his mom, okay, if the relationship does not last, I don't think that you should feel like you're entitled to, the house. Now, if we, come into the marriage, I have a house, we rent my house, and we acquire something together. What we acquire together during the marriage, that's what you may be entitled to, but not something that has already, been in existence when you come into the relationship. No, I don't believe that you're entitled to that, and neither
right.
am I,
Right. I think that's what, like you said, prenuptial agreements are vitally important. Get all of those things hashed out before you say I do, because if you don't, then you'll end up with saying I don't in the end, and then your relationship end up dissolving, and you have so many unfinished business and issues that were not taken care of. And then, like you said, if you have a house and children and other assets that you want to protect, then you're right. These are things that you do need to protect, and your prenuptial agreement can actually protect those things. But both parties have to agree. That's why it's called an agreement. So, everybody must be in agreement with what's on that document, and not feel bullied into signing. But, I would think that the person would be happy to sign, because it's not just one way. I mean, like I said previously, you can put things in that prenuptial agreement that has nothing to do with tangible assets. There's a whole lot that can go in there, and it works for both parties, and both parties do need to agree on what is going to happen in the marriage, and it's not an out. A lot of people, and somebody just sent in the chat room that prenuptial agreement is just a sad and sorry way of trying to find an exit strategy out of the relationship. I completely disagree.
Disagree. Say diamond?
Yes.
Well, I agree with the lady that was just on.
Yes.
Okay, now one of the main things should be in a prenuptial agreement is full financial disclosure. And keep in mind the fact, if you are found to have lied, you're in violation of contract, so goodbye.
Well, yeah, that could be inside of your prenuptial agreement.
But that definitely should be in there, full financial disclosure. And this would cover, like you were saying, about how is your credit, who do you owe? What are your assets? Here are mine. Blah, 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 bleep, bleep, bleep. Show me yours. What have you got? What are you putting on the table here? And see that traditionally, in a traditional relationship, this no longer happens. I've discussed this before. In a traditional relationship, the man would have the house, or either he would go and take the girl from her mother's and father's house to his house. He would provide the house. The things have changed. Today you have more men that are living with women than you have women that are living with men. You have more, mainly this is because you have a lot of men out here that are looking for 40 years of age, and they've never had their own apartment and lived out on their own where they were responsible for the rent and general upkeep of the place. So since women have the children, in most cases, she has space. if he's out on his own at most, he's not going to have a place big enough for a woman and some children. And even if his place might even be kind of tight for the two of them for any length of time.
Well, that's true.
It's just basic. It's just simple today's economics. The guy ends up moving into her house or into her apartment because it's a space thing. But you running into bad news when she's getting this guy from his mother's house. Hey, he's shown irresponsibility right there. If he's living with his mother, he's not out on his own. He's not being responsible. So how responsible is he going to be if he moves in with some female and her children?
Well, that's true. Now, hold on one second, Ron. If you just joined us, you're listening to Secure Your Life. This is Mosaic Monday, and we are talking about prenuptial agreements. Is it really necessary? And the consensus tonight so far has been that, yes, it is definitely necessary and that everybody should have full financial disclosure. One of the things that we did not mention, we kind of skirted over it a little bit as far as some disclosure. A lot of times, guys, not necessarily women, because you have very few women that are paying child support, and they're not the custodial parent. Most women are the custodial parents. So, I mean, it does happen where some guys do have full custody. But here's the thing, and this is why you need full disclosure. A lot of times, you have people who have not paid their child support. And in that, if they marry you and they have not paid or there's an arrearage on their child support, once you marry that person, your assets are also considered to be the family assets or tacked to his income, which means that 20% of the household income or family income will have to go to outside children, which means they're outside of your home. If you have you're making the most money collectively, they look at his income as a whole, which means that probably will include your income. So that means that 20% of your income also may go to his outside children. So you need or her outside children. So you need to keep that in mind, and that's why disclosure is important. You need to know what's going on with that person.
You mean like deadbeat dad that has never paid a dime could hook up with a woman that's in the money, and then the mother of his children could say like grab a chunk of his new wife's mother money.
Yes.
Oh boy.
Oh, Diamond. Also, yes. Don't forget, if when you marry him, also, and if either party has student loans that have not been paid, they will keep your joint tax refund to pay
right.
to put on a student loan.
That's right. So you really need to disclose your financial disclosure is very, very important because like the caller said, your financial aid, if the person is not paid and they can withhold your return for if you're filing joint, that's like I said, even if the person does not, you may not have been able to stay on top of your finances or your credit. I mean, circumstances do happen. It could be because of illness or it could be a loss of job. So due to no fault of your own, not saying that you're deadbeat, but circumstances, life happens, okay? It's like Murphy's Law. What could go wrong does go wrong, and everybody does have that happen in their life. You know, if you're prepared for it, then that's great, and if you're not, and it usually hits when you're not. So we're not talking about people who have tried or they're actually doing the right thing, but there are circumstances where you may find yourself in that your student loans got behind and then, you know, you got married, you forgot all about it, life happens, and now you're married to this person you filed jointly, and they will confiscate your return to pay back that student loan. So you got to keep that in mind, too.
I think transparency is really key because a lot of times we go into relationships and we feel like we're forced to hide things. If this is going to be your potential life partner, you should be ready to share the good, the bad, the ugly, you know, because it's going to come out, you know. You know, you don't, you know, you're negligent in your child support. You're negligent in your child support. Okay, well, and I'm going to be your wife. I'm going to find that out. And I'm going to be one unhappy camper if I file my income tax returns and they're snatched because you wasn't honest enough to say, well, you know what, I haven't paid my child support, you know, and it's going to, you know, surprise. It's the element of surprise, you know. So, you know, I think it's just best to be upfront and honest while you have the chance, you know, because I think when it comes out, you know, later, it's gonna be ugly. So
yeah, it's gonna be hell to pay. Now, speaking of hell to pay, here's the last but not least. We only have 4 minutes left. Wow, this show has just, it zoomed past so quickly. We need to talk about the unpleasantries of divorce. And believe it or not, there is a such thing as divorce insurance. When the audience member actually emailed me this, I kind of started laughing because I was like, "Are you serious? Really? Divorce insurance?" Well, what I found out about divorce insurance is basically it tries to take the sting out of getting the divorce, okay? And what happens is often one of the former spouses left in financial dire stray as the aftermath of getting a divorce. And it's usually mostly the women because they're so used to having that household income coming in, and now it's decreased by like 37%. So there is a company out of North Carolina that has Safeguard Guarantee Corp, and I'm going to give you their website too. But they have created what they call wedlock insurance. And, okay, the company is co-partnered with Prime Insurance Company, and the claims to be the first in the world to offer divorce insurance. The product was named Wedlock, which means to decrease the cost associated with divorce and legal fees. So it's actually supposed to be able to pay off your legal fees. In order to avoid fraud, this company has set it up where you cannot make a claim. There's a waiting period of 4 years, so you cannot make a claim within the first 4 years of you setting up your insurance. And the coverage is done in protective units, and it's $14.99 a month. Okay, so you can actually go to their website. Believe it or not, they actually have a website, and it's called Safeguard Guarantee Corp. And it's safeguardguarantee.com, and it tells you all about the divorce insurance and what, you know, how to apply for it and everything. And what happens is this: for $15.99, so basically you say for $16 a month, you as a subscriber will get this insurance, and annually renewable premium is guaranteed for casualty insurance that provides a lump sum cash based on the initial claim of up to $1,200 per unit purchase and up to $250,000 if it is paid if your marriage ends in divorce. Okay, so if your marriage ends in divorce, you can claim up to $250,000 depending on how much insurance you have put up. But like I said, there is a waiting period of 4 years before you can even make a claim. But I thought that was incredible. They even had the nerve to even go to, and you can go on their site, and it says divorce probability calculator. They have a calculator to determine whether or not the probability of your relationship ending in divorce. And then it says if you find out you are a high risk of or high chance of a divorce, Wedlock also has a divorce cost calculator to help you determine how much insurance you will need to purchase. That's crazy, isn't it?
That sounds like that insurance company that helps you figure out how much coverage you need. They don't They give you the basics. I've forgotten which company that is. They advertise on TV all the time.
Well, that's Progressive. They do that.
Progressive, that's the name of the company.
Right.
Progressive,
is,
right.
Right. This is divorce insurance.
This is something like that. There's something like that.
Right, and it's called Safeguard Guarantee Corp, and their website is safeguardguarantee.com. And
if it's not a rip-off, it's a good idea.
Right. Well, no, this
yeah,
is
but
a
that company is not going to. It's not going to last long because I mean the divorce rate, one out of what? Look, basically 1.5 out of 2 marriages end in divorce. So I mean, you're going to be paying out.
Right. Well, here's the thing.
Out claims.
That is why they make you their waiting period is 4 years.
And you'd be paying into that thing for 4 years.
Right. You'd have to be paying into the thing for 4 years. And depending on, from what my understanding is, depending on how much insurance you have actually purchased will probably depend on actually how long the waiting period is. So if you actually max out at $250,000, I'm pretty sure that the wait period before you can claim will probably be or supersede the 4 year waiting period.
So it'd almost be like putting money into in some kind of investment account.
Yeah, basically. And, I
right.
mean, and your marriage is an investment, and
right. so,
I'm not I'm not saying it. Well, think about it. It's just like our car insurance. We pay into our car insurance, and it's not $15 a month. So we pay into our car insurance every month. And they're hoping that we don't have to make a claim. Well, we're also hoping that we don't have to make a claim. But the whole point is think about how much money they have collected from us over the years. If you never make a claim, and you don't get that money back, by the way.
You know what, Diamond? And this is just my belief. I think that, you know, divorces are granted way too easily.
Yes, they are.
If they could convince the couples or the court system or whoever that, hey, I'm not going to grant you this divorce unless it's, you know, basically your life is at stake or, you know, maybe make it a little bit more challenging to get a divorce. And then, you know what I'm saying, put some type of stipulations, then that may be a good idea in an effort to try to maybe curb some of this divorce, you know.
You know,
then, you know.
I agree with you. I think the main thing that would curb it, to curb divorce, let's try to curb some of these quickie marriages.
Yeah.
Like getting engaged
That's
on blind
true.
Dates. Oh, but we got into a moment. So we went to Las Vegas.
Well, you know, and you're 100% correct in that. I think that too many times people do jump in, and they don't ask the hard questions, like the 6 questions, and those really weren't very hard questions, but there's something that we really need to look at. They need to start asking. I mean, we talk about a lot of things, but most couples do not talk about finance and money. They don't.
They don't talk about anything.
Right. Well, I mean, and then those who do talk about things, the last thing that they talk about, if they ever talk about it, is finance and money.
I agree.
You know why? Because it's sort of like taboo. It's sort of like the unspoken. You don't ask me about mine. I don't ask you about yours.
Oh, yeah, and don't talk about sex. Oh, yeah, you can talk about you and I doing it, but other than that, I don't want to know.
Well, right, and I mean that's a whole different show. but we do need to have full disclosure. There needs to be transparency, especially when it comes to our finances and money. And love and money is just like love and war. You really need to know what you're up against, and actually, people, you know, think about this. We are a couple, and we need to work together. And regardless of what your financial outlook is at the present, it can always get better. And if you're better at handling finances than your significant other, then maybe that would be something that you two need to sit down and be open enough to allow the person to, hey, find out what it has been working for them. If they're able to handle their finances a lot better than you, put your ego aside and say, hey, you know what? You've done pretty well for yourself. Maybe you can show me what you're doing so that I can improve my situation. And, you know, until that person has their stuff together, does not mean that you don't necessarily need to marry them. You can still get married. I do suggest that you do have a prenuptial agreement. I do suggest that you have full disclosure and transparency on all fronts. And I also think that you all, if the other person that's in your life does not have a very good financial outlook, then I think as a couple you all need to work on trying to get that other person financially solvent so that you all collectively can do well. So,
and get your own attorney.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I think, yeah, you know, when you get down, we're talking about prenuptial agreement. Each person needs to sit down. Don't let someone just hand you a paper and say, here's a list of what I think we should have. This is an agreement that both parties, and you, regardless if you have tangible assets or not, can actually add things to that prenuptial agreement that both parties have to agree to before you get married. So with that, we have run out of time. It has been my pleasure. Do not forget to join us tomorrow. Tomorrow is Tough Talk Tuesday, where you can get your rant and rave on. You can talk about whatever you want to, whatever nags you. If they did it, we want to hear about it. So tune in tomorrow for Tough Talk Tuesday. Thank you for joining me tonight for Mosaic Monday. And we are on 5 days a week, Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. And you can contact us if you'd like to send us an email about a topic that you would like to hear. You can contact us at SYL Show. That's SHOW at ATT.net. That is SYL Show at ATT.net. I will be glad to take your comments, your questions. Read them over the air. You can email me, and I will definitely acknowledge your email. You can give us a topic that you want to talk about either on Tough Talk Tuesday or Mosaic Monday. We're happy to hear from you on that. Or you can also tweet us. We're at Twitter at Secure Your Life. You can also visit our website, and that is secureyourlife.net. So that would be S-C-U-R-E, your, Y-O-U-R, and we spell life, LYFE.net. So that's secureyourlife.net. You can join us there. And I look so forward to hearing from you all tomorrow. Good night.
Good night, Diamond.